Hello, this is Norma Sheehan from the Heal Your Hole podcast, asking you to heal my hole for a change, the hole in my pocket. It's just a small one-off payment, no subscriptions, takes 30 seconds to do apparently. So you need to follow the support this show link in the show description. And every payment increases my healing power, so I can continue to tend to your lazy holes, hairy holes, needy holes, itchy holes, money holes, smelly holes, arseholes.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to episode number 62 of the Heal Your Hole podcast with myself, Norma Sheehan, where we will look at all the various holes in your life, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, financial, comical, sexual, and we give them all a good sing too. Last week we did Yogi Hole with Dior Rourke, and her website is flow4life, the digit 4.ie, and she's also dflow4life on Instagram, and you can check out her classes online, her weekends away to Glencastle or Italy, and she does classes in the calm rooms Monkstown. She's wonderful. So I had a laugh. But this week I have another treat for you. Sit back and enjoy this one. It is Joe Conlon, who plays the lead in the Gaiety Panto every year. He is a phenomenal performer, singer, legend. We talk about gay pride, we talk about theatre, and we talk about life. Just sit back. I couldn't cut any of it because he doesn't say anything boring. So basically, I hope you enjoy it as much as I did.
So I'm uber excited here to be with one of my idols of the stage for many, many, many years, Joe Conlon. If you think of the theatre, and I suppose mostly pantomime really is what you're renowned for, you are the queen, the dame, you are the absolute pinnacle in Ireland of Christmas entertainment. Hello, Joe Conlon.
Hello, Norma. Lovely to speak to you today. How are you?
I am absolutely... I'm just so happy to be here because, like, I'm a fan.
Stop!
No, I am. I know we're friends, kind of, like, do you
so
know?
So is but my mother. She's in heaven.
But I used... Like, I saw many pantos before I got to know you. Mm. And you just are electric on stage.
Thank you for that lovely introduction. But I think when you say something like that, you're always part of a team. And there's something very magical about the Gaiety Theatre, its building, its stage, and the magic of pantomime, which I always say is the first introduction of young children to theatre. And I've been so blessed. My first panto was 17 years of age in there as a dancer in Red Riding Hood. And to say that I'm playing the Gaiety's Panto Dame is a great honour as an actor to follow that role. And it's tradition. The tradition's very important. And I'm a real one about tradition and the Gaiety Panto and its tradition. But when I, like the last one we did was Aladdin, and its costumes, its sets, its magic. Like, I sit on the side of the wings on stage right, yeah, and watch some of the stuff, because stage left there's a lot of goings on, and stage right's a different side, but it there's a bit of space to sit because you're not normally allowed to stay, hang around. There's so much going on, and I've loads of changes, but when I've time out, I sit on the side of the stage near my stage director, Donna Leonard, and just watch it and watch my colleagues and listen, and it's a, you know, as an actor to be part of something like that, it's a great honour. And I think it's the Gaiety tradition. It's a Dublin tradition. It's a city tradition. And
it's an Irish tradition, because most people around the country make the big trip up somewhere in December or January, or Jesus, could be February. I think also that the pantomimes have reached a level of musical quality in the last few years. I am blown away by the acting. There's no more now. Yes, you have to have the in-jokes with the audience. Yes, you have to throw in he's behind you. You have to at some point, because people will be disappointed. But I am blown away, particularly in the last few years, where my kids are starting to get older, where they shouldn't want to go to Panto's, mm-hmm. but they keep wanting to go back. Why? Because it's at a West End or Broadway level.
And you know what, Nora, that's down to our producer, Caroline Downey. Excuse me.
Caroline Downey, one of my favourite women in the press.
She's the most loveliest person, and not because I work for her, but as a producer, she sits back and lets it happen. She gives rein to our creative director, Darren Crosby, Peter Beckett, music, and Paulie McCall looks after costumes, and all Vinnie Bell, the set design and construction, all those people. But she wants it right. She won't like let anything go. It's just, why is that not working? Where costume? She's in the middle of it. And I think thanks to her and the creative team that they've turned it around and brought it to the present time. And you're right, what you say about the young people. Those young people got the video wall up the back, the screen. Yeah,
they want more now. Their attention
they want more.
They have to have... They've shorter attention spans due to social media, so
absolutely.
It has to be go, go, go. And actually, I worked on a... She was the producer on a Martin McDonagh play I did
yes.
in the Gaiety, my only time acting in the Gaiety.
Yeah.
And again, I could sense her professionalism.
Oh, absolutely. Her involvement, her attention to detail. And I'm glad you made that point about... The country folk coming up to Dublin, because every year I get lists of requests and I get the most beautiful handwritten letters from people of an age from the country going, we were back again and we would like to say thank you very much, and we're in, and what's happening is the grandparents are getting gifts for their children and grandchildren and as a gift for next Christmas, and then the diaspora that have moved away were coming home for Christmas, flights booked, what day are we going to the Panto?
Yeah, yeah.
So the Gaiety has not lost that tradition, because it's not a Dublin thing. You're so right.
Oh, listen, I'm a complete bogger.
Absolutely.
Like it's
absolutely.
Yeah.
And we do support
oh sorry, a little trumpet blowing here now.
Go.
You said you started on Little Red Riding Hood.
Yes.
My first Panto was at the age of 11 playing Little Red Riding Hood in the Cork Opera House.
Oh my god.
With Billa O'Connell, Chan Maya, Paddy Comfort, God, I can't remember her name. Oh my god, she was a legend. Oh, I'll remember it later. Like Michael McCarthy, Elaine Carlyle. I don't know if you know any of these people, because there's lots of Corkonians.
I played Buttons in the Cork Opera House production of Cinderella with Elaine Carlyle as Cinderella.
Wow.
I did two productions, and Rebecca Storm is Cinderella.
Oh, stop.
And I tell you about learning your craft. You know, when I've been doing some upskilling during this COVID pandemic, online and all that. Had to do it because I wanted to do it. So I've been upskilling on various things, right? Including writing. But...
Because you never stop.
No.
You have too much energy for one person.
Absolutely, yeah. Right? And I've started this creative skill of writing, and I've just loved it.
But it's therapeutic.
It's very therapeutic. And all the degrees you have with theatre, going, spending years in college, you do nowadays need something to stand back and have something to hold on to. But my learning skills were standing on stage with Billa O'Connor and Paddy Comfort. Their comic timing.
Oh.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Like, they had me in creases one night. They start to ad lib. I went, oh, sweet God, where are they going?
Mm-hmm.
So I went with it.
Yeah.
We know as actors, if something goes amiss, we know how to ad-lib and get ourselves out of it.
Oh, you're the master of that. I mean...
Thank you. But I was in the middle of the two of them. And they were, oh, boy, what's he up to today? I don't know, sister. What can we do with a little scotch? And I'm going, where's this text coming from? So I laugh so much, the audience start to laugh.
Yeah.
Oh, da-da-da.
Yeah.
And... to work with two people like that, to watch Maureen Potter on stage.
Yeah, oh, stop.
The late Danny Cummins as well. And that's how I learned a majority of my craft. On the side stage, watching these people. To be on stage with Paddy and Billa, you know, like, oh my God, just.
Yeah.
And that's how you learn stuff.
I still have a little bracelet that Billa gave me at the end of the run. Something like Dear Norm, a Little Red Riding Hood in the Year, engraved on it. Now, it's so old now at this stage, but I have it at the bottom of my jewellery box. I will never forget that.
No, you don't. And I have a wallet for my passport and stuff when I go away. And Maureen Potter gave it to me one year. I still have it. Everywhere I go, passport into that wallet. And I take it with me everywhere I go. And that's why that learning process, I think, for young people, I go to the theatre a lot on my own. And the reason I go on my own is I will gain knowledge rather than my colleagues going, what's this on about? When is the halftime? No, it's the interval, not the halftime. You're not at a football match. Yeah. Get over. So I got Aaron Monaghan. I'm a great fan of Aaron Monaghan.
So am I, yeah.
Oh, what a wonderful talent.
Yeah.
Drude have put on some great work over the COVID. And not only...
He's no ego.
No, he's just... when I saw him, was it Henry the Third or one of the Henrys in Shakespeare in the Abbey? I was like going, Ruth Negga in The Gate.
Oh, yeah. Playing
Macbeth, was it? one of them? Hello, I hope you're not listening, Ruth. Please excuse us. We're still available for gigs. Our contacts are...
This is Ruth Negga, who we both know, and she's been nominated for Oscars.
Oscars and IFTAs and the Washing Line Awards. Was truly what she did, a soliloquy or something. It just...
And Aoife Duffin
abandoned
herself on stage.
Like,
just
when you go to stuff like that, and I think as an actor,
and I don't even like Shakespeare, I'll be straight up with you.
But she made it more believable.
Oh, yeah.
And understandable.
I saw Dennis Conway do a Richard Donkeys years ago.
Oh my god.
And I think he did it in his own accent, and I understand every word. And if it's not like that now, if I can't understand what people are trying to get across, then I'm just going to get lost. I'm going to get itchy.
And not taken away from those big houses and those big companies and funding and all that. There are other venues, like, unfortunately it's gone now, would be Theatre Upstairs.
Right.
The Viking.
Yeah, yeah,
all
yeah.
those little... I'd had the privilege of working in both those houses over the years. And when you play to big houses like 1300 and then you go into a space where the audience, they're literally up your hoo-hala-hala. You go... Yeah. Oh, no, you can cope with this. And I found those both experiences very challenging, but rewarding. Totally. Going, okay, you have to change your voice projection. You have to pull it all back.
Yeah. So inside the Gaiety, you're playing to up to 1,300 people, as
absolutely.
You say. And by God, Caroline Downey will make sure there's no empty seats in those houses.
No, absolutely.
And people can, you can say what you want about Panto, but I don't know, do you do 100 shows?
We the last one we did was 98 shows.
Yeah, 98 shows. And they will all be... like probably capacity 90% has, capacity absolutely, on absolutely. Average. There might be an empty one on a Tuesday at 11 a.m. or something like that that isn't full. But 100 shows, like that's a business. That's a machine. And people, things like that, apparently if you talk to theatres, they say shows like that and shows like say the Martin McDonagh that fills out they fund the kind of willy nilly creative stuff that you give a chance to
absolutely upkeep of those theatres for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Revenue, electricity, all that type of thing. And we need more of that in our industry.
We need awards for Panto as well, by the way.
Come here. You know, I'm glad you said that without being arrogant and conceited, because it's only been recognised as an art form.
Comedy, because I thought I was a serious actor, but apparently I'm a bit funny looking and funny sounding. So I got pushed towards more comedy.
Yeah.
Very hard. You want to be in Bridesmaids before you get nominated for comedy, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Panto is even tougher.
Yeah.
To get recognised that you're a... truly perform. But if you can lie down and lose a bit of weight and potentially look like you're going to slash your wrists because you were abused, then you get an award.
Yes, because prior to each performance, I and some of my guys, I'm in, say it's an 11 o'clock show, so I'm in at 8:30.
Oh, stop it. And you're there till midnight that night
and
the rest.
There till 9:15 that evening. So when I'm there, the night before, I leave all my food prep ready.
Right.
And go into the theatre.
You're an athlete. You're a freaking athlete.
I do my workouts in there, weights and all that before they come in. Then we do a general workout with every company workout.
By the way, this man is so, so fit. And I don't know your age, and I'm not going to ask your age.
No, I have no problem. I'm 61. I'm 62 in the 5th of September. I don't have
a problem
with my age.
But why are you getting younger looking and younger looking? And I'm not blowing your trumpet here now.
No, I don't know. You know, it might be my genes. My background is I'm adopted. So I have a twin brother and he's a priest. And there's 5 of us in our family. And we're all adopted from different families, but adopted into the one family.
Were you with your twin brother?
Yes. So I have twin brothers. I have twin sisters.
And you're a twin.
And I'm a twin. And then I have an older brother. And we were all adopted into the one family.
Three lots of twins and one more.
Two lots of twins and an older brother. Yeah.
So five in total.
Five.
Okay, because I have twins and another one. Twins are...
Yeah, so...
Are you identical or non-identical?
No. Well, people say we are, but I don't see it. My twin sisters are. They're from French background and all that. My brother's Dublin and we're Dublin. And so to get back to the younger thing, I don't know what the gene is.
Right.
And that's a great thing. But I'm very fortunate that I do look after myself. I love running. I finish,
I see you on Instagram.
Yeah. Pantopump. And when I finish here, I'm going to go jogging now. And then I'll do my weights later on. My food. I have a good diet and all that. And,
I suppose to look well in all those gunas, you have to...
You know, like...
That said, you could hide your blubber under the gunas as well.
But then at the end of the run... I say to Pauline McCall, I said, Pauline, there's something wrong with my costume. You're losing weight, you dope.
This is
very true, Pauline. Yeah. How many shows have we done? Yeah. So you tend to lose it.
Adrenaline as well.
Oh, big time. Yeah. And then you have to build all that back up again. So when that panto finishes around January, I then give a bit of body and vocal rest because my vocal warm-ups and all that, no alcohol. And then I get back on track then around the end of February and start building it up again.
Okay.
You know, not to say that I would be asked back because we know every show it's our last gig until you get that call.
Yeah.
So nothing is for definite, you know what I mean? And you move on to, I get a call, Joe, we need to have a chat with you about costumes, can you come around and all that. And,
right, okay.
You know.
And just because we've Gay Pride Month, I suppose pantomime is, we've got carried away there, I'm so excited.
No, it's great.
But growing up in a family with twins and another one.
Yeah.
When did you know about your sexuality?
Do you know what? I always knew that I was gay, hail, rain or snow. I've never remembered anything else. So I'm always quite open and listen to discussions and debates about, I just realised, or and each and everyone to their own here, right?
Yeah.
But I'm very confused sometimes when I hear someone, I'm coming out because I'm late coming out and, or I've gone through this and that. But it's innate. It's in your DNA. It's there. And I, as a young lad, I'd say I was a little bit light on my loafers. Right. For the want of a better word, hopping around. But it wasn't a good time, I'll be honest, when I was coming up in the 70s and 80s. And
I don't know how you're not bet down from surviving those decades.
Yeah, I found it hard. Now, one thing I've never done, Norma, I've never come out. And I tell you why I say that to you. I've never felt any reason to go, hello, everybody, I'm gay. I just going, and the reason I say that is, accept me as I am.
You know, with all this, I identify as this and the other. Do you think absolutely everyone be what you want to be?
I'm totally confused by that, right?
You're confused.
I really am. And to answer, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
But yes, each and everyone to their own.
Totally.
And I might have an opinion about, oh, I'm not comfortable with that. I don't understand that. And, oh, God, but...
It's not your problem.
It's not my problem.
Yeah.
I'm entitled to an opinion, but it's not a problem.
Yeah.
That's their life. Accept them. You can be in the company of someone who is transing and all that and changing over and going, I don't understand it, but I respect. And that's what you have to do with anyone
And I do
nowadays.
Think people my age and older who are finding it tricky, and we think we're wise and we think we know it all, and if we are confused and feel, oh, geez, I can't open my mouth anymore, I'm always saying the wrong thing, you know, I was thinking maybe I should shut up for a while and listen.
I think they're very wise words because I was talking to some friends months ago and God, I'm not getting this, lads. Just get over this. What? And I sit back and listen and look, observe and listen to the knowledge, get that knowledge and understand it. I hate to say, but I don't think our country is ready. I think there's a lot of bigotry going on in our country.
Now, my kids are in primary school and they're in Educate Together.
Great.
So this is the most open environment you can imagine.
Great.
So there's one class in particular. My daughter isn't in that class, but she said, look, the majority of her friends in that class are bisexual. And she was saying to me, you know, that she was saying, you know, it's 1 in 5 is just a statistic. Mm. But she said, sure, they're all just experimenting.
It's hormones.
And isn't that fabulous?
Yeah.
So whether it's one of them going, I'm going through my boy hating phase, so I love my girlfriends and I love platinum girls and whatever.
Absolutely.
So they're just going with the flow.
Yeah.
And isn't it fantastic? Yeah.
I think the world is a bigger and brighter and better place for that.
It's fabulous.
Each and everyone should be accepted.
Yeah.
When you listen to older gay people talking about their experience. I had one very, very bad experience going to the Gaiety, the old stage door. the one down the end of the lane, but the, and I'm going in to do a show. And I had a member who worked in-house as a technical crew said the most horrendous things to me. Behind, I walked up the lane.
So it wasn't a stranger just being
No, a technical who's used to work in that theatre, gone now for years. And I was only a young lad, 20-odd. And they said the most horrendous things to me. And I'd go in and my dressing room at the time was stage left, open. And I remember someone saying to me, "Are you okay, Joey?" Something called me Joey. And I said, "Yeah, I'm fine." You're not. You know, I said, "I'll tell you later," which I didn't. And the reason I didn't, I just get ready for work.
Yes, no, park right? it. Park it.
Get on stage, do it. And that colleague said, "Joey, will you go for..." I said, "No, I'm going to go home. My voice is a bit tired for you." And I didn't want to discuss it because I was really hurt.
You weren't ready.
And I wasn't ready to discuss it. I've never have. Yeah. But that's the only thing now that did sort of dent my upbringing, me as a person
and
coming
you,
up.
You with a family with adopted, had you an open household, as open as it could possibly be?
No, right, okay. Very different.
Right, okay.
Very different. I had a mother, the most amazing person, who would be very liberal and opened to stuff like that, but wasn't discussed in those times.
Of course it wasn't.
Just don't...
Like, I'm younger than you, and you did not...
Don't mention it.
Like, not only was there the only gay in the village, there was no gays in Ireland as far as I...
No, like, you're looking over your shoulder all the time.
There was two... I think there were Swedish or German. There was two women lived in a house down near Fountainstown. And that was the only two homosexual people I knew in the county of Cork.
Yeah.
And then I came to Dublin, to UCD, to do commerce, and I ran off to the Drama Society because that's where my heart
yes,
was.
Yes, absolutely.
I was very confused. Yes. There was a load of people down there who weren't good at acting, weren't particularly good at anything. And then I realised, this is a safe
absolutely.
Bubble.
Yeah.
He's wearing green leather pants that I wouldn't put in Oxfam.
Yeah.
She's got seven colours in her hair.
Yeah, taking the words out of my mouth.
So
yeah.
I was heading off to do commerce with nobody. I was the only one from 400 people in Drama Society.
Doing
so
commerce.
400 people in commerce.
Yes.
I was the only one down in the Drama Society. What a beautiful
absolutely.
Environment and
absolutely.
Safe place. So you must have found that with the theatre when you found yourself.
I just, when I went to my theatre community and colleagues, it was like going, I'm at home here. Not because of my sexuality, but because I can be who I am here. Mm. I can be who I am. Like, I was in Pirates of Penzance and another G&S produced by Noel Pearson at the time.
Wow.
And Pirates was like, all these pirates had just like opened the closet and went, oh Jesus Christ, all these gay pirates.
Yeah,
like the majority of them were gay. John Cavan, Niall Buggy, and the amazing and wonderful Anita Reeves, Lord of Mercy on her, were all in the cast. And it was amazing production, went on for months and months. But I was 20 odd and we had a production manager called Yvette Halley. And everyone, because I was the smallest at the time, I still am, the little Joey. So I was known as Little Joey. Joan Bergen designing costumes going, I need to perm your hair and colour your hair. Is that okay, Joe? Yeah, yes, Joan.
Is that where your hair went, Joe?
Yeah, yes, you know. But Yvette Halley, you say, Joey, where are you going now? I might go in next door. No, go home, you. Go looking after you. Do you know what I mean?
Right,
because she knows me from a really young age.
Yes.
I'm going, watching you, mind yourself now and all that. But you're so right to go into that environment and that acceptability of going, no one's going to judge me here. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
But I hate saying it was dreadful during those 70s and 80s and early 90s going, looking over your shoulder, but like.
Yeah, because you could get beaten up.
You could just, and to be seen, and prior
Come
to
on, the, you could get arrested.
Oh, God. Fuck. And prior to this chat today, which is just a joy and a pleasure to do, I saw two lads holding hands, walking through town, and went, Jesus Christ, isn't this great?
Yeah.
Isn't this just like...
And can I be honest? I'm loving seeing girls holding hands. Because
look it!
A couple of years ago...
Come here, don't
boys, mention. It was cool to be gay.
Absolutely.
Suddenly, people of my mother's generation, suddenly they wanted to get a hairdresser, they wanted to go to the gay friend's party. The gay was cool. Lesbian was still not being accepted.
No.
Like, women were knocking lesbians. That's it. Like, and I won't even say the names they were being called.
And part of it was that dogmatic attitude from the church.
Yeah.
The church were at fault here.
Yeah, no.
Absolutely. There's no... I call a spade a spade here. Pontificating to us... from the pulpit. My late mother would go over to the university church on St. Stephen's Green, and she came home one day and she had her little routine. She was a very, very strong, great woman, but reserved in her way from Galway and all that, had a lovely upbringing and a lovely family, and her mum was my beautiful grandmother to me. But she came home from Mass one day and I came in from whatever, and she was making her cup of tea, and she says, "Wait till I tell you, Joe." I said, "Are you all right, Nora?" She said, "Father," whatever his name was, says, "told us this morning we're not to be looking at soaps and all those type of television programmes. They're not good. The Lord would not be happy. The Lord." And I went, "Jeez, what's it? Program is he on? What page is he on?" He says, "Well, I don't know, but I won't be going back to him anymore."
Ah, brilliant.
And I went, "Well, and what about your friends?" Because a few friends would meet out after Mass. "Well, wait, did I tell you? Brilliant. What are you doing? Oh, I won't be going back in there again. The cheek." Yeah. So I said, "I go over to White Fire Street." Yeah. Great. And she did. And a different community of priests. Right. And I think that is why the church is where it is.
Yeah, it's in trouble.
Like it's in this, huge trouble. Yeah, yeah. And I personally don't go to Mass, but I'm very spiritual, Norma.
We all need something for our dark days.
And it has helped me privately and personally over the last 2 years with a cancer diagnosis I had and prostate cancer. I'm doing great now. Everything is great. But that has helped me, that Zen moment of zenning out with Deepak Chopra. He does these meditation classes. Yeah. Going down to Clarendon Street when it was open, just to go into a corner and sit and just zen out and light a candle going. And that will help me till my last day in this earth, but not rushing to a church.
Sure, I've an uncle who's a brother, Brother Dan. Well, they know him as Brother Nicholas in the
community.
I love being in his presence.
Yes.
The man wouldn't kill a fly.
Yeah.
He will never harm someone.
Yes.
And he's given every moment of his life to improving other people's lives, right? So there are good souls out there. Did you say your twin brother?
Yes, is a priest as well.
And is he in Ireland?
He's in Dublin. He's in a community. I don't really sort of know because he goes off and does his thing. And,
okay, but he's happy.
Know, he's does his thing. And
perfect.
You know,
because priests are getting hammered as well. Unfortunately, the ones who are doing good work.
And see, that's the problem. They're all getting tarred with the one brush.
Yeah.
There are good priests out there. And community priests who go into the community.
Yeah.
And there's a lovely priest in the Carmelite community in Warfare Street, Father Bernard. I know he's still over there. He's the most beautiful man. He's just, colour, robes aside, he's the most beautiful human being. And that's when I look at him and go, that's why he's a priest. That's what priests should be about.
Yeah.
That understanding.
He's floating around. He's enlightened.
Oh, and big time.
And also some of those kind of people, they're not afraid of death either. Because they understand.
I've fear of that at all.
So they've no fear of the homeless. They've no fear of anything. So it's...
You know, and that's why going
back... Do you have no fear of death, did you say?
No, none at all.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
I kind of get you.
Because when I was diagnosed with the cancer from Barry Maguire, the urologist, he's just started, okay, it was after when the panthers come back for results, okay, we have found cancer. I went, okay, so there's certain levels and you're at the top. I said, I'll always go to the top, hello. I don't know. And he goes, and he's talking to me, and he's, so I went, sort of went pale, hits you, shock. I went, oh, Christ, can I ask you a question? He says, is this curtains? He was, what, Joe? He says,
curtains?
It's curtains, end, final curtain out here. Jesus, it is not.
Do I have to do a second bow?
You know, I have a few more gigs coming up. Joe Conlon, it is not. So you just have a journey to go on. It's going to be a bit challenging.
Yeah.
And da-da-da-da, you'll be fine. I am fine. 2 years down.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
The road.
So sometimes it's like giving a car a good service. Rather than...
And I'm very adamant, I'm vocal, too much vocalising about men's health.
Yeah.
It's, and you're right, which is get the car fixed.
Check your bits.
Check your bits. Go, all men should go to your GP and get your MOT.
Yeah.
That's how I was diagnosed, because I go to my GP.
Same with heart things. When I see people getting heart scares and then they go on for another 10 years without a blip because...
Oh, just... Yeah. I went over recently to get my eyes done. Why? Just get them checked, because your eyes can tell you what your cholesterol's about all the time.
Really?
Yes. I found that a few years ago, your cholesterol's a bit off, you need to go to your GP. I went, oh God, your retina, I've got them all cleaned. And
so the eye is a mirror to the...
To what's going on behind.
Away.
Huge. Because I think you've an onus to yourself, yeah, male or female, to be responsible for your own well-being,
yeah,
and your mental well-being and your health.
Because would you believe, like, I've very good vision, but I've started to not be able to read tiny ingredients at the side of things, yeah, right? But when I'm living healthily... And I'm only saying this, I thought I was crazy to say it, but my vision is better when I'm feeling good and I'm having a healthy week, as opposed to a week where I'm rushing, stressed and just living off biscuits.
That's your mental health. Because when you're in that good space...
My vision and my eyes...
It's much better. You're bounced around, you're not rushing.
I wake up with crust on my eyes and, yeah, pain in my eyes and tired.
You need to go and get them checked.
If I'm stressed and whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if I'm having a zen week and whatever, it's just...
Totally. It's like when I must do that, I must. When you do it, you clear that space.
Great.
There you can see the floor. Done that, park it. Now onto the next one. I did it on Sunday. Went up to my office going, do that now at your time. Send some emails, double check stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then I start doing some stuff, admin stuff, get all out of the way.
So you decluttered.
Decluttered. Now they're still there, but going, okay, that's there, that's there. And the same in your head.
Yeah.
You know, the walk I will do tonight will be 35 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'll just come back, quick shower, clean up, go to bed, zen out. It's just important.
Is Panto coming back this year?
Come here. Scoop.
Is it?
The Panto will happen.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
The Little Mermaid, she, reason it didn't happen last year, she wasn't up to the swimming.
Oh, she wasn't?
No. Unfortunately, she was in the Isle of Arbran's and the Isle Rubber Ring.
Oh,
and
she wasn't ready.
Caroline of the Downies was having a stroke.
Yeah.
I'd frocks ready and went, I'll kill her. I'll kill that Little Mermaid. So,
yeah,
it will be moving in some capacity.
Yeah,
it will happen because this is no ordinary Panto.
This is no ordinary Panto.
It's the Gaiety Panto.
Oh my God. So it's happening?
It will happen.
The children need to be ready. The adults, the big
adults,
children.
Let the theatre community happen. We need to. We're a little bit different than across the water in the West End and all those wonderful theatres over there that we're going, oh, we're not in a hurry. That's part of our Irish DNA. And then we'll open up. We're here. Like,
yeah,
we can't wait to get back.
But you know what? We'll all be well vaccinated by Christmas, like at the rate they're doing mighty work. And we love to knock our own and knock the system.
Absolutely.
But we're actually doing mighty.
I think
mighty
our government, and I put my hand up going, I was giving it months ago. Will you come
I've
on?
I've slagged, slagged and slagged and knocked.
So
and
did
and
I. But in their defence, they've turned it around.
Yeah, yeah.
And the majority of people that are vaccinated and this new variant, which we will be safe from.
An old saying, what is the longest way around is the shortest way home.
Here,
that's definitely what we're going
I'm telling you now, it's happening to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know.
Well, you were kind of blessed in a way that COVID started after a Panto season.
Yes.
So I know it's been horrific for everyone involved in theatre. It's just been awful. And so many different industries
have been not good.
We can't even name them all.
No.
And I will be straight up going, I hit rock bottom now last April, May, June, with homeschooling, with work stopping, with being trapped at home, trying to build a studio, trying to stay relevant, trying to have a pulse, literally. But my God, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
I agree with you. I put my hand up. I found it very lonely here at times. I'm home alone. I live my own. Don't have a problem. But I found it challenging. People not talking or connecting or going, oh, God, God, God.
Because you're a people-y person.
I'm a huge connection with
people.
By
the way, if you're ever lonely in this house that we're in right now, just give me a call. Oh, my God. It is stunorama. I'm not going to give away information because we've got stalkers, but location, location, location. And my God, you've some taste. This is just, there's certainly no teenagers streaking fake tan around your walls and breaking stuff.
But I tell you what I did learn, and I would always stick to this. I made sure I got out of bed every morning. By 7:30 every morning.
And I'm sure you see that on Instagram. Now, what's your, are you Joe Conlon on Instagram?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You got me through so many days, right? When I'd see you out walking the park and I'm going, Well, if Joe can do it,
I can do it. I just found, because I live on my own, I had to sort of
self-motivate. Yeah, big
and
time.
I acclimatised myself to go, okay, up at 7:30. And I still left my breakfast ready, whatever, bits.
Which is harder because I had a child to bang me on the head.
Oh, big time.
You don't.
Yeah, no, there were times I was going, no, just open that window, let that air in, and I'll stick to that. That's one thing that kept me motivated. Yeah. Stand up, get out, and bless myself going, another day, come on.
Okay.
And the silence in town, like, was deafening. It was just... Yeah, yeah, yeah. But on the good side, the fresh air.
Yeah.
The birds in my garden here going, oh my God, yeah. the sound of the birds, they're still there, thank God. But it's moving back slowly.
I should have got you on a few weeks ago. I did Dirty Old Hole, and I went around when it was dead around Dublin and I went around and spoke to people who lived local or people who were cleaning the streets or people who were homeless, and I just got around a delivery man. It was, oh my God, it was grim. It was grim. And a few of the shops went into, and they were like, well, we get some customers. Eek.
Yeah. No. And you know, it was very sad. The people that are homeless, they weren't around. Because I see if you know a few, except there was one morning I was running back and I had a coffee and a bagel or something I had. And there's this guy at the top of my road laden down, and it was starting to rain a bit, and there was something quite telling about him. So he passed me and I went, oh, I said, sorry, sir, how are you doing? How are you? I said, he said he was grand. I said, are you all right? And I said, it's okay to talk. I said, come here, this is a coffee. Would you like it? And he said, no, I'm grand. Are you sure now? I said, all right, I'll go and I'll get you a cup. No, I said, can I ask you where are you going? He said, just to get somewhere dry. I think these things, the rain is down, son. I think I'll find some. Yeah, yeah. I said, and what do you do with your day? And I left that man so overwhelmed. And all he wanted to do, Norma, was talk.
I know.
He just, and I was going into a house. I had a roof over my head. And I had food in the fridge.
Yeah.
All he was looking for, somewhere to put down his little stuff and stay dry. And I was really overwhelmed. And I just sat down going, Jesus, Joe, you don't have any problems. And I don't. And cancer,
see,
hello.
As a performer, you can put yourself in his boots, right? So we can pretend I know this sounds wankery, but we could pretend we're playing that part tomorrow.
No, absolutely.
You're on the street, whatever. Absolutely. There is somewhere to go to get a bowl of soup. There is somewhere to go to get a coffee. You will get that.
Mm.
You will find a doorway, but it's to have someone to talk to. And I'm only coming around to that, what you just said. You're so right. Talk to people who look lonely.
Can I tell you something, Norma? Sorry for crossing.
Even if it's the richest person coming out of a castle, they could be lonelier than the person in the sleeping bag. Yeah.
Part of my treatment with the cancer, I used to get radium treatment, right? And I got that for 8 weeks, 5 days a week.
That's too much.
All right. So I had to do it. And there you go. The wonderful Professor Gerard McVeigh, the radiology department.
Well, it worked, but that's a lot.
Absolutely. And it was part of it. Grand. That was fine. But when you were called for your appointment, you had to go 35 minutes every call to drink this substance. And then after 35 minutes, you were brought in and they did the radiation. But there was one morning, one evening, the girls said to me, Joe, would you do us a favour? Would you change your time to the morning? I said, any time. I live close by. And I said it to you, if you need to change, we have someone coming up from the country. It's great. So I came in the following morning at 7:30 and waited 35. And the call was for 8:10, if not 8:30, around that time. So top of the morning, up at the crack of dawn, drove over and they leave the bottle on the window. Your name is on it. And there was someone else there. So I cans in. Drank the water bit by bit by bit by bit. And as I'm sitting there listening to the radio, I heard, good morning. And I turned around and said, good morning to you, sir. And I took my cans out of my ears. And this man said, I'm sorry, I'm disturbing you. You're listening to the radio. And I said, no, sir, I am not. Here, I turned it off and turned around. And I said, how are you today? And I said, can I ask your name? I said, it's Joe. I said, we were just talking about you the other day, the lads. So they form a men's group because they're in the same position, treatment, all that. I said, and they christened me the young fella. I said, any sign of the young lad? Where is he? Was he in earlier? We missed him and all that. And the heel of this conversation, the crux of it was, he just wanted to have a chat. That man, I can still see him. He was on radium treatment and he was on chemo. And he just wanted to have a chat. And I chat. And when the girl said, Joe, we're ready for you. He said, come here, son. Thanks very much for that. I said, for what? He said, the chat. Cost nothing. And I made it a point of principle every time I saw him. I said, how are you doing? How are things? Great to see you. Now, my intuition was telling me and still tells me, I think he might have passed because he was very unwell. Okay. And the more I saw that man, his gait got slower.
Okay.
Quite slovenly, dragging his feet. He lived on his own, right? And he was dealing with all those complexities of his health being not good. He had a son who lived away and all that. And I thought, I'm going to get through this. I'm going to be great. I'm going to be fine here.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm a very assertive person. But that man wasn't. And I learned from that story going, please talk. Don't be afraid to engage and connect with someone who needs to
and
talk.
And we're not afraid to talk. And we're not afraid to make a show of ourselves.
No.
We can do it more than other people.
Absolutely. Yeah. And he sat there.
And I have no problem if I talk to someone and you can see they don't want you to. I'm okay. That's all right.
It's great. You just feel they don't want to engage. They don't want to continue the conversation. And you go, pull back now.
You know, when I was low at the start of COVID, and obviously you can't say you're low because first world problems, I used to go to 3 supermarkets a day. And I know we weren't allowed. I didn't go into them. I would queue in Lidl.
Yeah.
When I get to the top, I'd pretend I'd forgotten my mask or something or my money and I'd head off. Go up to the next one, Aldi up at the corner. I'd queue for 20 minutes in that queue or 15 minutes in that queue, chat to the people before and after me, the 2 metres. Yeah. So I wouldn't take a space because I was leaving. Went up to Tesco then, about another 500 metres up the road. Queue there, longer queue again. Chatted to people before and after me. Like, that's the ravings of a mad woman. But I needed to get out the house. I needed to talk to people. Mm. And hopefully I brought something else to someone else's day. We need to talk.
And I think that word connection is very important because I think there are good things that have come out of this.
Yeah.
Now, saying that, aside from people have lost loved ones in the middle of it, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. God, but it's a pandemic.
The good things are that we've started to look at ourselves in a more positive way and realise we don't need those things. We don't need those materialistic
things. The greatest gift is time to give someone.
I got a call from someone in LA, didn't recognise the number, going, oh, not answering that. Rang again. Then the person texts, it's me, will you answer your phone? I went, I haven't talked to this guy in years. Now I've seen him back and forth. And I thought what was lovely about it, he said, I'm on the beach here with my wife and the child, as you do in the middle of a pandemic in LA. He said, and I just turned and said to her, I said, I wonder how Joey Connor's doing. He lives in his own home. And he ran. And I thought that was lovely.
Lovely.
Just a connection.
Because another day you might have desperately needed it.
Come here. And I reconnected with him and connected with loads of people. And I said to someone recently, I rang them and I said, I just rang to have a chat. I go, come on, let's. I said, when this is over, this is not to stop. Because I've connected with the most beautiful of people. I've had the most wonderful chats.
Great. Great.
And I think you're right. We need to go, how are you doing? No.
We also need Zen time as well.
Oh, that's so important.
So we also need to learn where to, I'm not great at that, but where to draw a line or where to draw a barrier or to say no as well.
I've learned to say no.
Have you? Because you wouldn't be good at that.
Oh, Jesus.
You'd be so bad.
I'm a dope.
A dope.
You'd be running myself to the
young
ground.
What do they call you? The young fella?
Yeah.
No one would think you're
any
tired.
Any fan of the young fella.
Where's Peter Pan? Sure, you do it.
You know what I mean? We have the gym, son. You know, I've learned recently, phone rings, I said, without saying no, going, I'm not around, I can't do that. I might get you another time.
Yeah.
So to gently, you know, do it easy.
Yeah.
But you have to learn to say no, need time for me.
Yeah.
That's so important.
And then you're recharged, because if you're not charged, you can't give any energy to someone else.
Do you know what I learned also as well? A colleague of mine rang me months and months ago, last year, said, Joey, I go to this guy to talk to him, and he says he's a great help, and I'm going to give you his number. He might help you through your cancer stuff and all that. I said, all right. And I'm going, I don't need to talk to anyone.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, God.
Sorry.
No. And I went, actually, look, I'll give it a try. So I rang this guy called Joe Goffin Navin, right? And I said to my friend, so what's it? Just go down to him. Okay. Made an appointment. I went down to him. Met the most beautiful man.
Is he a healer or a psychic?
He is. Does cards, healing and spiritual stuff and all this.
Okay.
So he said to me, how are you doing? I said, I'm doing good, sir. I'm Joe, and he's Joe as well. I said, so what would you like? He said, you tell me. He said, I start all these cards. The Heal the Hunt was, it was the most therapeutic thing to do, to talk to someone, not to tell you you're going to win the lottery, you're going to do that show, you're going to get a nifty.
Yeah.
None of that, because I said to him, I like the finer things of life, but I'm not materialistic. I could do without them. Yeah. Money, hello, never had it, won't have it. I'm managing it, I'll always manage. All that aside, is it? Oh, I know. He told me things about my biological parents.
Wow.
Absolutely. And it's like, oh my God. Like, he said, are you a little bit unwell at the moment? Like going, sort of a little bit of cancer, you know.
Yeah, oh, touch of the old sea.
Ah, yeah, no, yeah, that. You're going to be grand. I said, what? I said, do what you're doing. You're doing great. I went, oh, all right. Lovely. No, I didn't take that. Like, I'm going to be grand. No. Keep going with your program.
Yeah, yeah.
But those talks I've had with him, I continue every 6 to 8 months.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
I just...
And you could do them more regularly if needed or...
If needed. Yeah. And I think that aside, as you rightly pointed out, those chats are important.
Yeah.
And not to say, how are you? No. How are you?
Yeah.
How are you doing? No. How are you doing?
Yeah.
Because it's a real brush. When you say it a second time,
yeah,
with inflections going on, how are you doing?
I had a healer reach out to me a few weeks ago.
Really?
We were moving house, so I was under pressure. And she offered me a session for free.
Take it.
I did it. But she explained after that I bumped into her at something. And my body was screaming across the room at her, save me, help me, save me, save me. And I'm going, yeah, whatever. But it was actually, I was about to combust. And she said, look, you're fine. You're tough. You're great. Mm. She said, you have, you're adrenally at zero. You're
absolutely
leached. You're exhausted, adrenally exhausted from what you're going through. And sure, she said, but what did she say? If you think of a dry sponge that you find at the back of the sink that might be there for a year, you forgot it and it's gone hard. She said, all you have to do is dip it in a dish of water. Dish it. I was going, isn't that lovely?
And that's what it is. Yeah. Think of that analogy.
I had said to her,
I'm falling apart.
Well, I felt like a rusty Brillo pad.
Absolutely. Because the last time I went to that man, Joe, which was a good couple of months ago, when I walked in, he said, oh my God, you are a different person. Now, I hadn't said or done anything. I went, really? Oh, I can see it. There's a light there.
Yeah, they can see colours and lights. And
oh,
everything.
Wonderful. I'm going, really, Joe?
Yeah.
Oh my God, you're a different person.
And we need those people to keep clearing their own chakras and staying.
Yes.
Because I don't have that sensitivity. Yeah. I don't have that sixth sense.
Yes.
We have something. As actors, we have to be
yes, we do.
Something.
Yes, we do.
We can't be arseholes. We have to be open to everything.
Yes.
And even that, when you see, when nowadays, back to gay pride and stuff, and people going, I identify as this, I'm like, sure, I spent 3 years in drama school identifying as a tree or identifying as playing, you know, this, that or the other, or the enchanted forest, or play the granny, or, you know. So we're used to actually stepping outside the whatever. So if you told me tomorrow you identify as a leprechaun, I'd be like, does it make you happy? Brilliant. Go away.
Move on.
Off with you.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to be. Yeah. Gay, straight, black, white, whatever religious domination, or just... You just have to go with it. And we tend to, I don't know whether it's an Irish thing, thinking, what will other people think? No. Forget about other people. Just do your thing.
At least that's dying down a bit.
Oh my God, that's easing off.
The neighbour thing is gone.
People don't give a fuck anymore. We don't care.
It's still not great in the countryside.
All right.
Small villages, not great.
Yeah, yeah.
But, because there is still a bit of what the neighbours think.
Curtain popping.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
But we need to drop that.
Oh, but
like a hot snot.
We're just too old, too tired, too talented for all that crap going. Move on. Let's make our life a little bit better. You know, we will pick ourselves up because we have to, because we have more to give.
Can we do a part two of this and a couple of months down the line?
I went on a bit.
No, you didn't. Yeah, no, sorry. You went on a bit, Maris. Me hole.
Oh, me hole.
Sure, I did more talking than you did. That's the problem. And actually, I pulled up here outside today, guys, and I pulled down the window and I went, I nearly cried going, I'm so excited to see someone and chat
meeting
to someone.
Meeting a person.
And not someone just at a till, or not someone...
No, sit down, engage.
You know...
Connect, converse.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, lads, I'll wrap this up now in a minute, but I hope you got something out of this joyous human. And for God's sake, get your holes into the pantomime. It's coming 2021 December.
The 28th of November. November we
28th
open.
Of November.
Sunday the 28th of
2021. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Have you anything else to say before we wrap up?
No, thank you so much. This has been a pleasure and an honour to do this. Thank you so much.
Told you.
Isn't he fabulous? So get your tickets for the Panto. And he's also doing writing, which is great because I'd love to see what he has to write. And Mon Murphy is the person I couldn't think of who did the Panto with me in Cork years ago, Little Red Riding Hood. Elaine Carlisle and Mon Murphy shared a dressing room with me. And Naomi Daly was the other Little Red Riding Hood. She was fabulous too. We shared every second show. So those were the days. But yeah, Joe Conlon, legend. Thank you for your time, Joe. If you enjoy the podcast, share it around, screen grab, do all that kind of stuff, leave a review. If you didn't, the usual, shut your hole. And see you next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.